I think that's everybody for now. Okay.
People can come in late if they want.
Hello, KomoriCon. We are the hosts of Dress Up Disasters. I'm Allie Cass Cosplay, and this is
Circuit.
So we've got some fun stories for you today. So this is how it's going to work. We are going to tell a few stories and then leave the floor open for you guys to tell us your con horror stories or cosplay horror stories. And keep in mind, this is a live recording for our podcast because we do have a podcast which you can watch on YouTube and Spotify and all other places where you find your podcasts.
And Amazon and Apple Podcasts and Podcast Index and RSS feed and... think of a podcast network and we're probably on it.
We decided to cover all of the bases, everyone. And this is also all ages, so keep your stories PG. And at the end, if you tell a story, we do have some Canadian candy for you, some rockets that will confuse the Americans, because we're Canadian.
All right, so we'll get started. First, what the fuck is a dress-up disaster?
Keep it PG. Us swears.
Asking me not to curse occasionally is like asking the
hey,
room not
we're
to
Canadian. You get one swear in PG-13 movies.
You get one F-bomb.
No, wait, I mean two.
you just gotta wait for like the 1 minute at the start of the YouTube
channel. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So basically, we are a pretty new cosplay and convention-related podcast hosted by us to reminisce in what cons were a decade ago when we started, be excited about what they are now, and laugh about those mishaps that happen to those in this wonderful, creative hobby that we share. Those who said the life of a cosplayer is glamorous has never lived the life of a cosplayer, and we are here to prove that this morning. So first off, we have a story. Fresh out of yesterday evening.
Oh yeah. We got to start our KomoriCon with a doozy.
I like to call this story a circuit in Allie Cass and a lesson in manifesting. So for reference, of course, Canadians. Denny's in Canada is a much different environment than it is here.
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we get to con. And we're like, hey, you know, we want food. And we would have, you know, our first thought would have been the Red Robin, but the last time we were here, Red Robin gave everyone in our room, made them sick at one point this weekend. So we're like, you know what, we're not taking that risk again. But there is a Denny's right next door. And of course, there's that viral meme of fighting people in the Denny's parking lot.
So I, you know, enter the Denny's parking lot and I go, oh my gosh, I'm in a Denny's parking lot. Who's gonna fight me? Ahaha. This is the subtle forecast, foreshadowing meme in full play.
And not only that, but on the walkover, I'm also reminiscing with my friends and my partner the last time I was nearly hate-crimed in a diner.
Oh no.
This will become... I think you all know where this story is going at this point.
Was this in Seattle?
No,
this was across the street.
This is down the street.
So we get into the Denny's, and we get seated at the Denny's, and the lovely waiter takes our drink orders and brings us our drinks. We're there maybe 10 minutes before this woman comes by and lingers at our table, leaning over to one of our friends, who has like these really nice dreads going on, and they're like, hey, like, can I ask you a question about your hair, about like how they get their hair so nice? And you know, it's polite enough, and then the conversation just keeps going.
It's like a train wreck happening in slow motion. Like you're watching as this lady's becoming more passionate. And it comes to a certain point where you're like, if I tell this lady to kindly leave, it is going to have a bad reaction. So we were just kind of hoping that if we just nodded along enough, that she would eventually leave. Well, a half an hour rolls by.
And she's talking not only about hair, but about how, because we're all very femme-presenting people at the table, being like, you shouldn't take anything from any man. You say, this is mine. And
yay, man, hey.
it's going through.
She was starting to become like semi-verbally aggressive and like, you know, you take what you need to take and you do what you need to do and you don't take crap from everybody and anybody. And we were like, okay.
Insisted on giving us all hugs, to which I then feel the need to burn those clothes now. And then the waiter finally notices that something is not right and tries to intervene politely in the, hey, it's time to take their order now. Like, let's do this. Yeah, she was not having that.
No.
She was like, because she had assumed, I guess, that
we'd flag them down
to get her to leave. When we're like, no, you're just, we want to eat. We just want breakfast.
We left Vancouver, Canada at 7 a.m. yesterday. We drove all the way here. We got to our hotel. We dropped everything off. This was the first time we had eaten since breakfast. We were hungry. It was like 4 o'clock at this point. We were like, please, we just want to eat.
So the waiter is trying his best to get her to leave us alone.
The manager has to come up.
She starts losing it.
I'm sure she used every single swear word she knew.
And slur.
Every slur, every swear word, everything.
Directed at us.
God bless America.
Directed at the waitstaff, the kitchen staff, the security that eventually stands outside waiting for her to come out. My partner and our friend, who she originally came over to talk, end up having to step outside because, you know, social anxiety and confrontation is never a fun mix. And she finally eventually leaves. And it takes us another hour to actually order our food for real. And so at this point...
we'd spent 2 hours in that Denny's.
Just sitting there with our drinks and... a freaking prayer, man.
Yeah. Like, the thing that really got me about it was that no one else in the Denny's stood up. Like, there were, like, some older, large white men that could have easily stood up and been like, hey, I'm gonna use my, like, privilege or whatever to be like, hey, can you leave or something? Or just to stand up. Like, we're all young-looking, femme-presenting enough people, and it's like, all the, you know, because they always say on the internet, if something happens, I protect you, you don't need to worry about it. And I'm like, uh-huh.
One guy clapped, but that's about it. And there was a couple other people sitting. Yes.
Were you compensated at all for that?
We got free drinks.
Yeah, we got our drinks.
They also missed my bacon.
Yay,
they didn't give me the bacon. I got charged for it, but I didn't get it.
Boy, talk to Denny's. Not action.
Yeah.
You can travel further south and try Waffle House.
No, I've heard the stories of Waffle House. Those legends have made it to the northern lands of Canada.
Land of free. Wait, stop there, we'll fight them.
Okay, you know what? I'm here for the plot.
What I'm hearing is don't go to the Denny's after the coffee.
Yeah, at least be careful.
The staff were lovely, though.
The staff was lovely. The waiter that we had was like, I was a dishwasher for 10 years. I just got promoted to waiter 2 months ago. Like, I'm sorry. And you were like, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, fam. We're sorry.
Strong mask presenting person with you at all times.
Exactly.
Yeah, pretty much.
So.
You know what? Maybe it's just your guys' fault for being Canadian.
Yeah. We were too polite. Now we understand, Americans. Yeah. Now we understand. So, to go along with all of these lovely stories, I like to create little memes.
Yep.
Using the context that the audience is given of our stories. This one, I found a template, but I just couldn't find it in me to actually add a caption to it, because I think the template, this very classic template, just says it all.
It pretty much encapsulates the feeling, precisely.
Yeah. Especially because when she was talking, we were all looking at each other like that dog is looking
literally. I'm pretty sure at one point somebody mouthed help.
Yeah, that was when she was hugging me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the next story is one all for you, buddy.
Yes. So.
Oh no.
So this happened at the first convention I went to post-pandemic. It was 2021 Vancouver Fan Expo. I was dressed as Albedo from Genshin Impact. And if you know anything about Genshin Impact, and specifically Albedo, especially at that time, he's a fan favorite amongst all demographics. Well, I was standing there with my friend, who's taller and was also cosplaying as Child. So we were like the two top husbandos of the time. Like we were the Genshin It boys. And so we're walking through the con hall, you know, doing our thing, and these two kids come up to us. They're probably like 13, 14, maybe 15, and they're like, "Hey, our friends are dressed as some harbingers, and since Child's a harbinger, can we, like, will you come with us and we'll go get a photo?" And we were like, "Yeah, sure, why not? That sounds fun." And so we walk along with these kids, and they were dressed as Genshin characters. And then slowly, it's like every child or young teenager at the con saw us and just started congregating. And so we ended up in the middle of about 20 children dressed as Genshin characters, unable to leave. So we're walking around this con. My friend and I are holding on to each other, and we're like, "What the actual heck is going on?" We couldn't leave because they were like all around us, and there's like a gaggle of 20 children, and we're just like, okay, yeah, fair enough. And then, like, I have, like, social anxiety, and I have anxiety. And so I start having a panic attack because I'm like, I'm trapped. I can't get out of here. I don't know where we're going. I don't know any of these people. Ah. So we see our friends. And then I, like, run. I literally, like, bust out of these children. And I just run. I take off. Find my friends. And then while we're trying to exit the convention center so I can go stand outside and quietly have my, like, little panic attack, people kept stopping us, being like, "Oh, Albedo, my husband, can I have a photo?" And I'm like, So my friends had to like box me in again so that way I could get outside. This story does have a funny ending though, because I had not met this one yet, and they were dressed as Levi from Attack on Titan. And stand up, please. They are 6 feet tall. So I saw a Levi cosplayer and went, "Ooh, tall Levi." And they happened to take a photo with a friend of mine that was there. And so like for the next 6 months, I see that, I'm like, "Oh, that's fun." And then now we live together, so you know. Good things can come from bad things.
Jensen cult sacrifice.
Yeah.
I should say, the cult of Albedo, it sounds like.
Yeah, I literally got indicted into the cult of Albedo. I accidentally created a cult by existing.
As one does.
You and Child just became the parents of all of those children for a minute there.
And the meme. The next story is one of mine. Skye Estreth is... Freaking English. SkyTrain Creeps. Who here is familiar with the SkyTrain system in Vancouver, Canada? Okay, there's a couple. So for those of you who don't know what the SkyTrain is, it's pretty much what it sounds like. It's a lot like the cable cars you see outside, except suspended about 50-100 feet in the air. And there is a station for it that gets out right in front of the convention center. So a lot of people going to the con will take that from across multiple cities because it spans like the entire greater Vancouver area, which encompasses like Richmond, Langley, Surrey, the whole, yeah, Burnaby, everywhere. So I am, I'd say 16, maybe 17. This is the height of Yuri on Ice. So I am dressed as Viktor Nikiforov from Yuri on Ice in his pink skating outfit, with the very, very open shirt, to which I have the open chest binding, whole nine, and I get on the SkyTrain to get back home. I'm with my grandmother and one of my high school friends. And to the note about the Vancouver Convention Center is it is right near BC Place, which is where the BC Lions play their football games. Okay. And this convention was also in football season.
Yeah.
It was also the same weekend as Vancouver Pride. Oh. So you can imagine.
Wait, are we talking American football or football?
American football league. Like we have like an NFL in Canada.
Oh.
Yeah, or the CFL, yeah.
The one with the all long brown thing. So I get on a sky train, and it's a vast variety of colorful people. And I notice across the sky train car, which is probably
like 8 feet across.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly the same length as these tables here, maybe a bit more. And I see from across the way, there's an old man, old enough to be my grandfather, just staring at me, just watching, not doing anything, just looking. And I'm on the sky train, and I'm waiting to get off, because I have to go from one end of the line all the way to the other. We finally get off. Now, for those who are not familiar with the character Victor Nikiforov, he has white, silvery hair, which, of course, I had a wig to match. Now, this story is probably the most on the verge of not being appropriate. So we get off the SkyTrain. Reminder, I am 16 and with my grandmother. I step off the SkyTrain and he follows. And he walks up to me. And I think maybe he's asking for directions. Who knows? Maybe he's asking if there's an event happening, because that never happens when you're in costume. And he goes, "Do the curtains match the drapes?" I'm sure you all know what that means. For the rating of this panel, I will not describe what that means. I'll leave that up to your imagination. And my granddaughter overhears this. And I think Granny's gonna start swinging. So I just ignore, because that's all you can do. Because, you know, people like that, typically, if they're bold enough to say something, they're not quite bold enough to touch. And that's, as long as you don't touch me, I don't give a shit. I don't care. But my grandmother doesn't know that. And it's already a crowded sky train. So I drag her down the stairs while she's yelling profanities at this man. Which he deserves, absolutely.
Let's go, Grandma!
Yeah, let's go, Grandma!
Grandma!
Yeah, wait for the Grandma.
Pour one out.
W's in chat, boys.
Yep. And eventually I drag her out and back to the car. And she's like, "What the heck was that about?" And I go, "I don't know. I just live here."
That's a regular occurrence in Vancouver, unfortunately, as a cosplayer.
I have more SkyTrain stories, but for the sake of time, if we have time, I will save them for the end, or I could tell them in the hall after we're done to interested parties. But now, for the meme.
Why is that every guy in Portland?
I think it's men.
Hey,
most. So.
Fast reel or whatever, while you're in cosplay, is the worst thing ever.
Yep. Hey, I remember the catcallers that were outside last year.
Oh my god, that was horrible.
Uh-huh. Thank god for side entrances. And now we have one for you, which is also a recent one.
So.
I will preface this that we do have an episode of our podcast.
And it came out very close to this convention.
The week before. It's all about taking care of yourself in cosplay in the elements, intense heat and intense cold. Take it from here, buddy.
So, the month is August. It is hot and muggy in Vancouver. And there is a con, AnyRevo, that happens. It's at by waterfront, so it's a little cooler around there, but it's still like hot and muggy. Yeah. And for anybody that doesn't know, a lot of Canadian buildings are built to trap heat instead of like keeping
vacating
in it. Yeah, instead of vacating it, because we have like, you know, really cold winters and really long winters. Yay. So
that groundhog don't know nothing.
I meant to bring cosplays that were more weather appropriate. Unfortunately, the most weather appropriate cosplay I ended up wearing that weekend was Sasuke from Naruto. Shippuden specifically, like his like the gray shirt with like the weird butt skirt thing he had. Butt cape.
Protection.
Butt protection. Gotta protect that ass.
Ratings.
Yeah, I know, the ratings. Hey, I can say ass in PG. So, the con starts out pretty okay. Like, it's really, really sunny that weekend, and it was a bit muggy. And it was, we had, I believe, what was it, like 70 or 80% humidity without a cloud in the sky.
Absolutely atrocious. It was, yes, it's Canada, but don't forget, it's very close to the border.
Yeah.
And it gets hot. I think it was like almost 40 degrees Celsius, so whatever the conversion is in Fahrenheit.
It's about like,
it's hot
105.
As
I think that's about 105 in freedom units. So it was hot and it was very wet, but there was not a cloud in the sky. So it was just wet with nowhere to go. And inside of the convention center, they did have AC going. You couldn't feel it though. It was almost as hot inside the building as it was outside. It was actually more refreshing to be outside where there was a gentle breeze than it was to be inside.
Yeah, especially
like 5 degrees
because
cooler inside than outside.
Especially
yeah.
Because the Vancouver Convention Center, it has walls of just windows that face the sun.
Yeah.
So it bakes you like a greenhouse.
Yeah.
And that wall is also where they put all of the lines for panels and events.
Oh. Yep. Yeah, and then they put like the artist alley and everything in the basement.
Not like WasabiCon.
Not like that. It's like a nice basement, but it was still hot.
Yeah.
What was it hotter than the rest of the convention center?
I actually spent very little time downstairs because I would walk in. And the sea of sweaty bodies made me go, you know, it's same for me, dog. So I make it through the convention, and we actually ended up doing this panel also at the convention. And by that point, I was fading fast. I had a headache. I was feeling a little dehydrated, but I'd like drank water, like I'd taken care of myself. And so like I was holding it together. And then basically, as soon as the panel was done, it was like everything inside of my body just shut off. I was but a husk of a person. I was like delirious levels of heat exhaustion. It hit me like a truck. And so we are driving home. So we live about an hour, 15-minute drive from the like Vancouver Convention Center. So we had to drop off a friend. And then I was like so hungry at that point. But I couldn't like formulate thought very well. And so I'm trying to direct us to the one fast food place that I knew where it was in the area that we were. So we're driving down the road and they're like, what direction? I'm like, turn.
We're in a roundabout.
We're in a van. I'm all the way in the back and I'm like this. Full costume. I think the wig was half on, half off. I don't know. I have fragmented memory, honestly. I was so delirious.
Yeah, I have the best recall of the events that followed. So I'm in the front passenger seat. My mom, who also came to the convention, is driving, and Ali Cassier is in the back. Leaned all the way, head all the way back, eyes closed. Trying to direct my mother, who does not know where in the world she is, to the nearest McDonald's.
I just wanted some chicken nuggets.
And we go, where do we need to turn? I look back, and they go, this way. I think. And then we go, and I go, Cass, we're in a roundabout.
So I go, we go all the way around and then you leave. But not the way we came. You leave just before then.
Of course, meaning the last exit to the roundabout.
Listen, language was hard.
Because
then we had to go through the roundabout and then there was another light we had to turn at and then we had to like... Getting into the parking lot of that place
was
really
difficult.
The
parking lot of that McDonald's might as well be another goddamn roundabout.
It was a maze to get in there. And so, like, everyone's stressed, and I'm just in the back, a puddle. And I'm like, I don't... Nuggets. And then when we get to the drive-thru, they're like, what do you want? I'm like, nuggets. They're like, a meal, a drink, what? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
I did end up going to the con the next day.
Not Sunday, though.
Not Sunday. And I had heat stroke so bad on, like, the Saturday that I, like, went to, up to one of the, like coffee places and asked for a cup of ice, and I just kept dropping ice chips, like, down my shirt to keep me cool.
Yeah, so take care of yourself in the heat, you guys.
Drink lots of water. Don't wear thick layered costumes.
No. And now the meme, which is one of my personal favorites I created for the slideshow. Yeah. The Adventures of Dante and the Revolving Door.
This is a personal favorite of mine.
Yeah. So, we're at Emerald City last year. Down in Seattle.
This year?
This past year, yeah.
Yeah, it was this year. It was this March.
Yeah.
Did you buy any afternoon?
No.
Oh, okay. Good.
So, we're staying in the Hyatt Regency, which has these big revolving doors that work as front doors. Now, for those who aren't familiar with the Hyatt Regency and Emerald City Comic Con, they frequently use that for the guests.
So now, you can run into different guests in the elevators or just walking around. It's
like,
common.
Exactly.
A
little bit around across the room from here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Exact same kind of deal.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So, we're on our way out of the convention in the morning to go to con, and they have these signs next to the revolving door being like, hey, no more than 2 people per slice of the revolving door pie, please, or it won't turn. Now, we ignored that. But so did Dante Bosco.
Right after he had walked into the, like, into the hotel, we passed him. This one goes, I think that was Dante. Or, like, looks back.
I think that was Prince Zuko, you guys.
Yeah. And so we're like, ha ha ha, walking in.
That's so funny. Guess what else?
Oh, yeah. Wow. Dante Bosco. Woo. And then we're in the revolving door, and it won't move. And so, I turn around and go, wait, that was Dante Bosco.
Oh, there's more to the story that I don't think that Ali Cassier noticed. So the revolving door turned most of the way. So we're almost entirely enclosed in the glass tube before, in between both the exit and the entrance of the revolving door.
I could actually cry.
Yes, but there was a sliver about this big leading into the hotel and the start of this glass tube.
It's about a foot in freedom units?
Yes. Yeah. Now, Dante Bosco is behind all of us, and I turn around just soon enough to see this man squeeze himself out of the revolving door.
As I turn around, as I'm turning around going, was that Dante Bosco? And he, like, goes in, because there's, like actual push doors on either side of the revolving door.
Yeah,
and
so
he, like,
I
looks at us, like, as he's walking through, and I'm like,
Yeah, because I watched him squeeze out, go around, because it's all glass.
It's all glass, so we watch him just, like, stare at us.
Goes around through the door and out into the parking lot, and just is like, what? It's very much like that Umbrella Academy meme with the two cars going the same direction.
Yep.
Very much like that, but we're stuck inside a revolving door.
I would have a panic attack.
You did get out.
Yeah.
We met everyone.
I would start freaking out when actually crying.
That's not the first time I've been stuck in that revolving door. Either.
We've been stuck in that revolving door too many times.
Every time
this
I go to
just one time we happen to
stuck
be stuck
in that
with
door.
Dr. Bosco.
Yeah. So that's a story of things.
What I'm hearing is you just stop using revolving doors.
That's fair.
But there's so they have
but
so much
then, then the doors win.
Yeah. Exactly.
Anti-door, anti-establishment, anti-capitalism. I don't know. Another meme. Types of headache, migraine, hypertension. And Dante Bosco stuck in a revolving door.
Oh my goodness. Also, y'all know him as Prince Zuko. I know him as Rufio. You're not
Rufio.
Yes.
Now, Cass. Can you tell us the tales from your TikTok comments, please?
Oh. Okay, so this is the time that I got canceled for being minor coded.
Now,
yes, you remember this. So, the year is 2021.
The year of our Lord and Savior.
The year of our Lady and Savior Hatsune Miku 2021.
Where living in your
yes. Yeah. And I am cosplaying Dazai from Bungo Stray Dogs, who you might know is a adult character. He's 22. The anime is not a child's anime. It is like an adult anime. I would not suggest anyone under the age of like 16. Heavy on the maybe 18 to watch it. There's a lot of, you know, dark elements.
There's
in
a
it.
Lot. That character Dazai has a lot of suicidal ideation.
He has a lot of problems. He's my little baby girl, but he has a lot of problems.
That's putting it lightly.
Yeah.
He's just a little guy.
He's just a little guy. He has committed several war crimes, but we don't talk about that.
He's a baby girl. It's okay.
He's a baby girl. He's silly.
What if he said sorry?
He hasn't, but if he did. Anyways, I have a TikTok and I was filming various videos and there was like a slightly sexual audio. It wasn't even that sexual, and I'm gonna like, you know, demonstrate for the room. I turned to the side in one of the audios and I put my hand and I go like this and I go back down. And that was the most sexual thing I did in that entire video. And I had a kid come into my comment section and was like, I think it's really weird that you, a child, are A, cosplaying an adult, and B, doing like sexual things. It makes me really, really uncomfortable. You should take this down. And I was like, okay, well, my age is in my bio and I'm 25. So, and the character's 22. So, and they went on a rampage, made several videos about me, got their friends involved, and they were like, it doesn't matter that you're 25, you look like you are under the age of 18, and therefore you should not cosplay anything that is an adult or do any adult kind of things because you look like a child. And they, like, it went on for like 2 weeks. Of like constantly being inundated with these children being like, you're minor coded. And I was like, I am a real person. I can't be minor coded. I was born in 1995. Fight me. Yeah, literally. It does remain one of the funniest things that's ever happened to me, because when people are like, oh, have you ever been canceled? I'm like, yeah, I have. For being minor coded.
Other people's comments on yours were hilarious, though.
Yeah, yeah, there were so many people going, what?
Huh? My accolade.
Yeah.
Also, you know what's funny?
Mm.
Not only did I see the videos that you, like, talked about,
yeah.
About topics, also a few of their videos came up on my screen.
It was wild. Like, so many people got in on it, and they were like, and then a lot of other people were like, you can't minor code a person, like a real living human being. You
right.
No.
That's not how it works.
Yeah.
Thanks. Meme times. These are all getting posted on our Instagram page when the podcast episode for this goes live in a couple weeks, so keep an eye out. We do have a QR code that will link you to our Instagram page and all that, so you can follow us if you want to hear more of our antics. Now, the last meme we have to share before we let you guys come up with your own short and sweet stories. Demonstration mishaps. Now, this story takes place at KomoriCon last year. Where my lovely friend Ally Cass hosted a patterning 101 panel. Now, they had asked me a couple weeks before, being, hey, I want to do some live demonstrations of some patterning techniques. Can you help me out? And I go, yeah, sure, buddy. Whatever you need. And they go, okay, cool, because I want to demonstrate how to do the cellophane and duct tape patterning method, where you wrap saran wrap. Yeah. Where you wrap saran wrap around a body part, cover it in tape, and then you could draw your patterning lines and all that and cut it out. No big deal. And I go, easy. I've done that plenty of times. I'm not scared. I should have been.
This is the subtle, forecasting. Not forecasting. I know words.
So we're in the we're in the panel, and I go up to offer my forearm, and they wrap it and everything, and they go to start cutting it. As they're going to start cutting, they're going on a little ramble about how important it is to be safe when cutting things off of people, because you don't want to cut their skin. They go, oh, yeah, you want to be really careful, maybe get some blunt, like, first aid scissors. And I go, ow. And they look up at me and they go, did I cut you? In front of a mostly full audience.
The room was like bigger than this one, I think, and there was a lot of people in it, and I was like, oh, no.
Yeah. So I go, yeah, you did, but it's fine. It's cool. We're good. We're Gucci here. So they finally get it off, and it looks like it's just a red mark at first, but I am bleeding. I go sit back down, having a little bit of a laugh about this, and the audience member behind me goes, do you want a Band-Aid? And I go, yes, please. I still have a faint scar on my arm.
You're just carrying my love with you.
It looks more like a freckle now, but I know what it is. They know what it is. And the audience that was there that day know what it is.
And now we all know what it is.
And now you all know what it is.
Oh my God! I meant to be there, but I got lost.
There.
And meantime.
Yep.
For anyone who can't read it, maybe in the back, it's of course the Gru meme, and it says, host a patterning panel. Use friend for a live demonstration. Give friend a scar in front of a live audience. Give friend a scar in front of a live audience? All right. So, you know what time it is. If you have a story, please kind of keep it a little short, paraphrase a little, because we want to get through as many people as possible. If we can just have you line up right in this aisle, we're going to have our friend Aisha here act as a mic stand for you guys, so we don't have to worry, and we'll get through as many of these as possible.
Form complicated Zoom mass.
Yeah, so once you tell your story, feel free to grab a rocket here. And go and enjoy the Canadian version of your American Smarties, you Neanderthals.
Canadian version is better.
Yeah, I agree.
Exactly. So, without further ado.
I also have a story, but because I think it makes the last story even funnier, what were you cosplaying that day?
Shang Li from Genshin Impact. No, I was cosplaying Shang Li.
That was the next day.
Yeah, that was the next day.
So after that, I was asked to bring Band-Aids for Daza.
Yeah, bandages.
Yeah, because Daza held the bandages, so you had to bring the bandages for me.
After
so that morning, my roommate was working the con. I get up early, drop my roommate off, go home, and my stomach decides to commit treason. Nice. So I missed that panel because I spent 2 hours putting on my makeup and trying to get my stomach to stop committing treason. So by the time I get there, they're like, everything's going wrong. And I'm like, does anybody want anything? I'm like, does anybody want me to bring you anything? Can I do anything to make it better? Like, I'll be there soon, I promise. I'm sorry, I missed the panel. That's my disaster, is I missed all of that disaster.
Because you were having
because my stomach was committing treason. Yep.
All right. And I'm sorry to anyone you have to cut off for time. If we do cut you off, feel free to tell us your story out in the hallway.
We definitely still want to hear your stories, even if you can't make it here.
Yeah.
All right. My name is Wesley, and I've been going to gaming conventions for 18 years, but I've been only going to anime conventions for 3 years. This is why.
Hi, Wesley.
Hi, Wesley.
Do you have your
I like how this is like anime AA. Anyway, so.
Cosplay
on it. So I was, I wanted to go to a cosplay convention in my youth up at SakuraCon, and I thought, oh, I'll go with a friend group that goes there every year. And they're all like cosplayers, and I was like, maybe I'll go in their room. So I go and talk to them about rooming with them in the room, and they're like, oh, but everybody who's in our room is a cosplayer. You have to cosplay, you're going to be with us. I was like, but I just kind of want to like hang out with you guys. You know, it's like, okay, you can come into our room, but, you know, we'll dye your hair while you're sleeping.
No.
Wait.
No.
No, I think I'll pass. And 10 years later, I finally went to a convention. Thank you very much.
I'm glad you're here to listen.
You want a rocket?
They didn't want it, like, oh, okay. Just in case they get dropped. It's like, yeah.
Hi, my name is Siever.
Hello.
This is how dyeing fabric almost got me arrested.
Wrong start.
My wife is very good at sewing clothes and making cosplays. And when I was dating her, I was like, I want to do it. I like Star Wars. I want to make a Jedi outfit. And part of that was dyeing this little handkerchief red. We were doing it at my apartment at the time, and, you know, I realized, you know, I don't want to make my spoons, like, I don't want to, like, dye it the, like, red color of the dye, so I got a tree branch from outside and was stirring the pot with that. Then, once the dye was done, I just had this big pot of red dye, and I looked at my white sink and went, that probably shouldn't go there. So I, in my white t-shirt and basketball shorts that I use for painting, walked on out, hunched over like a pale ghoul in the night with a steaming, boiling pot of red liquid and a tree branch sticking out of it. And as I'm like, where in the grass should I dump this? A van across the street lights up entirely in police lights. Not just the top, the whole damn van lights up. This guy comes out, vested, and goes, you there! And I just... What's your name? What's your name?
It's Siever.
Oh, wait. You have an ID on you?
No, sir, no.
Shines the light on me and he goes, oh, I'm so sorry. You look like the guy we're looking for. Yeah, we're looking for someone. This steam in the night sky, tree branch, red liquid. So, you know, he's about to leave and he actually takes me in and goes, what do you got there?
Where's fabric dye?
I then have to explain to this SWAT officer how dyeing fabric works. He leaves. I shit myself. I go back into the apartment. My wife's like, where have you been? It didn't take that long to dye, like, to dump the fabric dye. And I go... And that is how I got good at dyeing fabric. Thank you.
Good job, sir.
Thank you.
Wow. So my name's Jayla, right? And this is
Hi, Jayla.
Hi. I know, I'm just amazing. This is how I terrified my neighborhood by cosplaying Miku outside in the winter. So I had just got my Miku cosplay, and I'm like, I want to cosplay Miku. It's snowing outside. It's pretty. So I walk outside. I'm in full cosplay. Keep in mind, my neighbors don't know I cosplay. They are outside walking the dogs, and they look over, and they're like... And I look at them, and I'm like, hi. And they're like, who are you? Why are you here? And I'm like, what? I was like, I live here. Keep in mind, I live out in the country, so people owning shotguns is very common with protecting their property. Uh-huh. And so he looks at me, he's like... Who lives here? I'm like, my grandparents? And he looks at me, he's just over here like, you don't look like their granddaughter. And why is your hair so long? You don't look real. And I'm, keep in mind, my neighbors have some mental issues that we think are there. And so I look at him and I just kind of like, I take off my wig, right? And he is like actually baffled. He's holding his phone, right? He just flat out drops it in the snow, looks at me, and starts utterly screaming. He just starts screaming. And so his neighbors come out, and so do my other neighbors, and I have police officers on my road. So they call my grandpa. Then later my grandpa had called me, he's like, why is everyone screaming? And I'm like, I don't know, I'm just cussing. cosplaying outside and the neighbors are like screaming at me. And he's like, okay. So anyways, Mr. Will, my neighbor, he jumps the fence and gets up in my face and he's like, he's like that. And I'm like, so I take off my wig cap and I'm like, it's me, don't kill me. And so his wife comes down and his wife is like, his wife literally just brings him back inside, apologizes, gives me $20, and then I go back inside. I'm literally over here like, and that's why I will never cosplay outside again in my neighborhood.
Thank you for your bravery.
Hi, I'm Tate.
Hi, Tate.
This is a story from last year. So I was doing a like punk Hwa-Chunk cosplay. This jacket, but I was wearing white pants. I had made the pants myself by bleaching them. And I thought they were a thick denim, so I was like, this should be fine, right? So I bleached them for 3 days. And the fabric was fine. I did, you know, I put them on, I tried them on, I did the squat test, you know, everything was fine. And I reinforced all the parts that I thought, okay, this is might not work. Well, I get to the meetup, the Don May meetup, and we're taking photos, and I squat, and I rip my crotch. The entire way.
No!
So I'm sitting there laughing, and then this sweet Shaylin cosplayer's like, do you need a safety pin? And I'm so like, and so they safety pinned my, I had a black hanky in my pocket, you know, and so they pinned it to my ass and I had to like do this on the way back to the hotel. And so I'm never bleaching pants again.
Hi, I'm Molly.
Hi, Molly.
People who have been coming here for a while may remember me cosplaying a young Uncle Iroh in the past. It was my first and only time making armor. I commissioned a friend who was like, oh no, I know what I'm doing. Fire Nation armor makes little sense. The collar piece overlaps in the back, but then is like under the chest piece in the front. We didn't test it out while I was sitting down. Ship it to the East Coast to a con with me that I'm working staff. I go on lunch break. I sit down. It goes, whoop. I have to sit here like this the entire lunch period because taking it off is going to be too long and have someone else feed me. Because I can bring my arm here and then the collar piece is like, nope. So I have like someone just being like, what do you want? And I'm like, oh God, no, please just let me melt into the corner in shame. Yeah, so make your armor good.
Definitely. I'm CJ and I'm a homestuck. And this is at the homestuck meetup of Otakon 2013. It's my first time at an East Coast con. I don't know anybody. It's just after the big photo shoot. This is 2013 homestuck. There's like 500 people. I don't know. And like 50, a substantial portion of the group then kind of breaks off. It's an also lunchtime story. And I'm like, I'm going to go follow this group. We're going to go get lunch and I'll hang out with and make some new friends. So we go to Five Guys. I get the Five Guys and I keep following this group and following this group and following this group. And then we're in somebody's hotel room. And I think that every single other person in that room thought that I knew somebody in that room who was not them. Cowboy Countries, if you're out there, I'm sorry. But I was the random person that was in your hotel room at Otakon 2013.
Yeah, who's that? Link.
Yeah.
Okay, so we all know how Ash is now the champion, right?
Yeah. Yes.
He won his thing. Okay, KomoriCon last year, right?
Yes.
That fateful day was the day we found out that Ash was the champion. You know something I didn't know when I was cosplaying Ash at KomoriCon last year, the day that he became champion? I didn't know he became champion. Yet. You know who else knew? Everyone that wanted my picture that told me. 20, at least 20 plus people. And I was just, I resorted the first few times, I'm just like, oh, that's, okay, that's, yeah, no, I'm champion, yeah, let's go. And then after like five, I was starting to guilt them. I'm like, I didn't know that. And I'm like, yeah, you gotta learn somehow. You can't just sit there and be spoiling people just because I'm dressed as him. Coincidentally enough, still doesn't make it right.
I remember seeing you take a lot of pictures.
Yeah.
It was fun.
I'm Alex. I'm Alex, and this story actually takes place last year. So last year at KomoriCon, I came with three of my friends. We had a really good time. We got a room together at a hotel, very close by, like close enough that we could walk, right? Anyway, as one of my friends was leaving, the one sitting right there, he managed to accidentally lock the deadbolt on our door.
How do you do that? Accident.
And from the outside. We still don't know how he did it. So me and my friend Brian, who were just waiting in the hallway trying to get into the rooms, we're just waiting. We couldn't get in, obviously. We tried our key cards multiple times, and we even called like the front desk and everything, and we talked to like some people who were walking by. And I think it was about 45 minutes that we were waiting. Oh, and did I forget to mention the cosplay portion of this? I was dressed as Spider-Man. So I had a bodysuit on with just some shorts. Imagine having to explain that to the hotel staff. Why I'm waiting in the hallway for my door to be unlocked, dressed as Spider-Man.
This is the 8-minute mark to the end of things, so we've only got 8 minutes, folks.
So I think we might
have to
cut off the line, unfortunately, at Alistair.
After me, or when
you are the
you are good. Hopefully.
Okay, I will try to be fast. My name's Lily. First time I ever cosplayed at a con was Rose City, I think 2016, something like that. I was 18, never had done anything like that before, and so naturally I got all of my stuff at Spirit Halloween, including makeup. So this is a warning for any like baby cosplayers who want to do makeup and stuff. Do not do Crave makeup.
Oh my god.
So I did Harley Quinn. Full face of white cream makeup. Full face of white cream makeup. And I'm putting it on in my friend's bathroom, and as I'm putting it on, it's drying and cracking. And so I'm like, oh, well, I can't quite smile in this, so I'll just paint the smile on. The problem doesn't come until lunchtime. I can't move my mouth or my face enough to chew. I'm sitting in the convention center, like the little cafeteria with a plate of pizza that I had to ask a friend to go get me a fork and knife because I can't open my mouth enough to eat. And so I'm just sad trying to cut my slice of pizza. And I'm just trying to get pizza into my mouth, and I'm like, I can't chew. Don't do cream makeup. Actually invest in your makeup for the love of God.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
candy?
Remember to take your candy.
Oh.
We brought it all the way from Canada.
Hi, my name is Emma.
Hi, Emma.
And I'm also a homestuck. The most common thing that I've had asked of me doing body paint, face paint, is similar to what happened to you, where somebody asked if all of me was gray.
I was at a Walmart with my friend and his kid, and this old man came up to me and was like, "So is all of you pink?" And like did the like once over of me real slow.
That's it.
Hi, I'm Kristen.
Hi, Kristen.
So, when you're making your own cosplays, you should always take into account what they call ease, which is building the costume slightly larger than your body so that you can move without it breaking off of you. The second cosplay I ever built, way back in, I think, 2011, was Kairi from Kingdom Hearts 2. She has like a pink dress with zippers on the front. I made them functional zippers, so the whole thing could come apart into two pieces. And I had a white tank top on underneath, and nothing else. So always have a contingency plan underneath in case anything breaks, or like the zipper starts peeling itself apart just because you didn't build enough room to move your hips in it. And this was in Minnesota as well at a friend's con, and so it was freezing cold, and we had to run to the store with me holding my dress together with my hands so that we could get some thread and sew it onto my body. So yeah, always have a backup plan.
Hello, lovelies. My name is Raven.
Hi, Raven.
I was under the impression that this would be more of like a cosplay crafting stories panel, and I kind of did that, so I'm going to go with that. This creature here decided to, I'm autistic, so I'm clarifying that now, give me a literal meltdown because I was trying to sand the base down after accidentally spraying the black paint instead of the clear coat. I was bawling my eyes out, I'm crying, and my dad's walking past, he's like, "Are you good?" And I'm like, "Hell no, I'm not!" And I'm like actually crying outside. So he's like, "Okay, just let it dry a little bit more." Because I had already tried to use red spray paint over again, got lumpy, tried to sand it off, got lumpy again, and I'm like actually just bawling because the sun is setting, I need the sun to have it dry, so on and so forth. And eventually my dad's like, "Okay, child, you're working on it tomorrow." And I'm like, "Okay." So that happened. And then I got like the Warbler, I think it is, like the bendable plastic with a heat gun, to try to get the decorative piece here to exist. Because my initial foam that I used for the eye did not work. And that, I also cried there. So I tried the plastic, didn't work. I finally gave up. I'm like, "Okay, been in hell for 90 years. Make it look old and used, make it look banged up, because that's all I can do. So I use tin foil for it. You can use tin foil, just reinforce it with extra spray coat and stuff like that, and wire underneath it." And then this morning, as I'm trying to get ready, I had little finger ring things, like the rings for Muslim people to have nails, but then they can take it off. I got those for my claws on my other gloves because they kept coming off. Super glued them, I'm like, "Okay, everything's secure, they're adjusted, they're good. Go to put them on, pops off immediately." Gloves for Vanitas from Vanitas No Cart instead as my backup because that's all that's staying and my nail's coming off as I say that. So, you know, that's fun. Anyway, I think that's it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You look great.
Thank you. Now, before everyone gets up and leaves, for a podcast episode, we're also conducting hall interviews where we're asking con attendees of this con why they love costume, why they love cosplay. So if you want to participate in that, meet with us outside and we can quickly get your answer. Our QR code here has links to our social media, to our podcast. If you are interested in hearing our lovely voices again, feel free to do that. And we'll smell y'all later. Thank you so much for coming.